Well, hello and welcome back to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business located in Church Hill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And there you can come and get your car hand washed. And we offer several different packages from just a simple express wash to a full detail. We also have mobile detailing service where we can come to you. And you can find out all the information about this business on the website of washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can also listen to this and other verse-by-verse Bible messages that have been preached. We air these on this station, WMCH, 1260 AM in Church Hill. And we're on from Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM. And we encourage you to come by and listen to the messages here in the parking lot of the Wash and Word as well. We broadcast those on a loop during open business hours on 107.1 FM. And all you have to do is turn your dial to 107.1 FM, and you'll hear all these messages on a loop. As long as you're in the parking lot, you'll be able to hear them. Now, being a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry, we were going to continue where we left off. We leave nothing out because we believe the whole counsel of God's Word is the most effective way to properly equip the saints for what's happening today and what's going to be happening tomorrow. So we're going to pick up. We finished John chapter 8 in our last teaching. Again, you can go to washandword.com, go to the media tab, and all of the previous messages that have been aired are there free of charge for download and or listening. So in chapter 9, we're going to change directions here. Chapter 8 was a very weighty and meaty dialogue between Jesus and the Pharisees. And so let's get right into it. Chapter 9, verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Let's stop right there just for a second. I want to point out a couple of quick things. One, you should know that this question isn't as odd as it might sound. In that day, it was widely believed that sickness, all sickness, was directly related to some sort of sin, whether it be your own sin or the sin of the father, and which is why they asked who sinned. Was it this person or was it his parents? And so they equated sin with sickness, which is not a wrong thing to do. Even today, a lot of sin results in sickness, but not every sickness is a result of sin. But back then, they had it kind of really grouped together where sin and sickness were equated with one another. And so that's why they asked the question. But what I really want to focus on here is, you know, in chapter 8, you know, Jesus said that before Abraham, this is right at the end of chapter 8, before Abraham was born, I am. And then it says they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself and he slipped away from the temple grounds. And then the very first words of chapter 9, which you just read, as he went along, he saw a blind man. And I found that interesting. He lays down this huge I am statement, which just about got him killed, but he slipped away. You know, I heard someone once say, no matter where you go, there you are. And I kind of like that statement. And as a Christian, we kind of have to live like that. No matter where you go, there you are. Because God doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't have he doesn't have to bring you here, there, or anywhere. You see, we're to be like flexible, like a pinball that bounces off bumpers back and forth. You know, remember, he just dropped this hearty, heavy, meaty teaching of I am, and it almost got him killed, yet he bounced off, and there he was, walking along, it says in chapter 9, verse 1, he saw a blind man. So it's like he bounced off of a near-death experience, and immediately he was on to the next thing that God had for him. It's like I love football, and I love to watch a running back get the ball, and when he hits the hole and he bounces off of his guard and he bounces off of a lineman and then he bounces off and spins off of a would-be linebacker, and you know, and he puts his head down and plows into the safety. A running back is just a great visual analogy or metaphor for how we should be living our Christian lives. As we go forward in God's will, we should be able to bounce off of things. We should be able to run into a wall and bounce off and spin and move and keep moving and keep our eyes focused on where we are, because no matter where we go, there we are. And as a Christian, it's not an accident where you are right now. It's not an accident what you are going through or where you are or where you've been or what lies ahead. If you are in God's will and you moving forward, you will be where you are, and there you are. And you think about Jesus, after what he just did. I remember when I was a kid, if I almost got caught for something, man, but I got away with it, I would lay low. I wouldn't repeat whatever behavior I was doing that I got away with for a while anyway. And you know, that's how we think in our mentality. We want to like lay low. We want to keep things calm. We don't want to stir anything up. We certainly don't want any contention. We don't want to fight with people. We don't want to say anything that's going to cause a stir in the church or in our church body or in the family unit or even in public, and everything's so stifled today. We are so worried about what we're saying and where we're going and are we going to offend this person? We got to get rid of all that. And we have to just speak God's word in all of its truth, no matter who it offends, because if you don't offend somebody with God's word, you will be held responsible for what you did or did not say when it comes to judgment time. And listen, what's the worst that can happen? You know, as you move forward in your life and you bounce off of things and you move on to the next thing, so what? Maybe you fail or maybe you get mocked or maybe you see results. You know, I mean, what's the worst that could happen to you? They can beat you. They can kill you. To live is gain and to die, to live is Christ and to die is gain, Paul said. So just let that be a lesson to you that, Jesus didn't fear. He had a close call, but it didn't stop him from doing God's will. You know, running into a dead end, having your prayer seemingly unanswered, not getting what you want. Don't let these things stop you from moving forward in Christ, because somebody's salvation might be on the line if we don't continue to move forward. Don't let discouragement or fear deter you from whoever God might put in your path or whatever path God might put you on. And so we'll look at Jesus' answer now. They asked him in verse 2, who sinned, his parents or this man? And in verse 3, Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself, the blind man, insisted, I am the man. Let's stop right there. Do you want to know what I think is the grossest part of this section? Well, the greatest part. It's not the healing, which of course was an awesome display of God's power. And it's not the spit mud pie that Jesus made and rubbed in his eyes, I would reply, ew. And it's not even the work of God on display here. What I like most about this section, well, it's the obedience. Obedience. Yeah, that thing that you struggle with so often when it comes to doing God's will or obeying his word. I mean, what a concept. Obeying Jesus. Jesus said to him, go, and he went. I love that. Verse 7 says, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went. You know, it's such a simple sentence, but the implications are so great. Jesus said go, and he went. Where did he go? He went to the pool of Siloam, which in my Bible, in parentheses, it says, this word means sent. Think about that. Jesus said go, he went. Where did he go? He went to sent. That's what the word Siloam means. And so, he was told to go to a place that meant sent, and he obeyed. You know, there are three stages to every command. There is the command, the obedience, and the result. And that's the part we need to focus on in this section of Scripture. Because often the provision of God for your life, that thing you're looking for, that thing that you need, the provision of God for your life oftentimes is bound up in obedience. And that is the key. It's bound obedience. In other words, that thing that you need or that you're looking for, it's ready to be handed to you, but it's bound up, it's locked up under obedience. And so if God is calling you to something, if God is laying on your heart to quit something or go volunteer here or whatever it is, sometimes the thing you're looking for is bound up in the result of your obedience. God is looking for you to obey that which he is laying on your heart. That's why the Holy Spirit is in you. It is to communicate God's heart to yours. And if you're listening to my voice and you hear the Holy Spirit convicting you of something even now as I'm speaking, that is the thing God wants you to do. And it's in that obedience that the result of what you're looking for can be displayed into your life. And not only that, not only is the provision of God for your life bound in obedience, but one of the greatest things about obedience is its witnessing power. Look at verse 9 again. It says that the man himself said, I am the man. And then in verse 10, how then were your eyes opened? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. And so I went, there it is again, and washed. And then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. But do you see, stopping there in verse 12, do you see what he did? He went, he washed, and then he could see. His seeing, Jesus put mud on his eyes, but that didn't make him see. It was the obedience to what Jesus told him to do that brought the blessing and the healing. And so oftentimes we miss the climax of what God wants to do, the fulfillment of his will in our life, because we don't follow through with the obedience part of the command. And again, one of the greatest things about obedience is the witnessing power behind it. And yes, the reward for obedience is great on a singular level, that it's good for you to obey, but oftentimes your obedience, well, it affects others by virtue of your witness. And it just sounds so good. He told me to go, and I went. How important is the obedience when it comes to the provision and blessing of God? And when it comes to the power of being able to witness. In Acts 1:4, it says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Think about it. If they didn't wait for the Holy Spirit the day of Pentecost, who knows what would have happened to the church? And remember, the reason for this man's blindness wasn't strictly for his healing, but it was what, in Jesus's words, so that the work of God may be displayed. So listen, folks, today, as you go forward, listen to the Spirit speaking to your heart. That measure of obedience to what he is speaking has implications in your life and implications quite possibly in the lives of others. So let me encourage you to continue coming back to this station at 8:30, Monday through Friday, as we continue our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. I pray that these words and these sermons go forward in power, that they change lives, and that they cause us to get serious about our walk with the Lord and to stop compromising the truth of God's Word. And it's in that truth you will find the glorification of God and the power to do His will. You have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow.